Welcome back to episode number 8, Ocho, Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You, which is me, which is you, which is we, in the infinite ride to find ourselves. Whew. All right, this episode is big, all right? So last episode was big, but I think, I don't know, man. Things just go bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you'll find that as a theme, even when, especially when I can go back to some of our past episodes and recap and clarify some of the stories. So for those that are new, it would be a great idea for you to go back to the first episode and work your way to this episode. It would make more sense. This one, unlike the other ones, I have a title ahead of time, and the title of this episode is The Beginning. So the beginning is an explanation or, I mean, well, actually let's get this. In the beginning, there was the word. Oh my gosh, that was right at 144 seconds. Sorry, 1 minute 44 seconds. Okay, it's getting crazy again, folks. Okay. Okay, here we go. Just roll with it. Again, go watch the episodes, come back. The way that the practical spiritual advice comes through is by storytelling, and the stories that lead you up to episode number 8, The Beginning, will do you some good into having some context as to what the beginning, like what got us to the beginning. There need to be something to transpire and an end to create the beginning. And so this new beginning is a tone. It is a vibration or an oscillation, a frequency. It is a harmonic resonance that creates things from the heart. And so these stories come from my heart. They are my living experience. My name is Harold Aho now. I am a practical spiritual advisor and community activist in San Antonio. I like to call this place the Tone. It is the 7th largest city in the nation. And to me, that just means it's the 7th tone. And going to do a small recap on the last podcast, which left us here in 2023, in the beginning of 2023. Well, we started off in that episode number 7 at Miracle Springs Ranch to leading up to 2023 and this event that we are calling Setting the Tone. And so Miracle Springs Ranch, just to recap on this place, it is the center of 2 solar eclipses that are happening in the future. And the activation that came from that, and, you know the first was like finding the land after the solar eclipse and finding out that it was actually not for sale. We thought it was for sale. We're going to buy it and build on it and live forevermore. And then meeting the son of the owner and then doing an act, going to the property and seeing that it was not adequate enough for a large gathering, and taking what that activation was, it has brought us all the way up to the beginning of setting the tone. And so as we go forth into this new playscape of honoring my stories as I honor everyone else's stories. So welcome to this platform of mine, and how honoring me. Sorry, you're also listening to my stomach. Actually, you know what? Let's do something to cure that. I'm going to drink a little water and put you on hold. All right. That was a really good drink of water. So while we're still here, before I get to the end, I want to advise, you know, a really good thing that's going to help you out with gaining clarity on all the stories and some of the backdrop, some of the foreground stuff, some of the stuff off to the side, as far as like pictures and videos and little clips of experiences that I have, like going back on my Facebook business page, my personal page. Instagram is not that old because it got hacked, and so it's a lot of new information or new content. And then my TikTok and YouTube, and you'll kind of see, you know, there's ways of like seeing galactic hints, especially on my TikTok. But I'm going to go ahead and get into some of that stuff here now. And this is going to be a little bit different than the storytelling of the last episodes. This one, I'm telling you how we built a new creation story for ourselves with everything that I was guided to experience and be a part of and take the advice from my higher selves and just be guided by my intentions, love for my children, and seeing the codes within myself and really just honoring my own story as it unfolds, as you know, we're all going through these shifts, and you know, we are now in March of 2023. For anybody that's following along or gets to listen to this, you know, from the future, you're in the future, listen to this in the past. It's a way to take a pulse on what's going on in the world, if you will. Now, mind you, coming straight through me, you're going to get to the underlying pulse of what's being built for our new world. You're not going to get so much of the external world and what's going on in the mainstream media and things like that. You're going to get my personal stories and what's going down pretty much in real time, because it's happening very, very fast. And so what I want to do is, this is the beginning of what is setting the tone. So now that we followed the story to the solar eclipse, X, Miracle Springs Ranch, everything, the world shutting down, like this whole thing, it's led to the headwaters of the San Antonio River, the awareness of the waters not flowing, and who I need to connect with as far as organizations that have some influence and can get some funding. You know, I for my research, I'm finding that the organizations are connected to businesses, government, people that I've communicated with before, that we share the same dreams. The mission statements on a lot of these organizations are exactly the same, with water conservation and what it means to have a flowing, clean river, and people that take care of the place that they live and are honor and are stewards of this planet. And there's just a really amazing opportunity that brings a very big, not just awareness to how important the water are and how our planet and the place that we reside, the place that we live, how it actually works, how she filters water, and you know, the mystery of the water in our aquifers. And, you know, they, some of the distortions that have been told, have people thinking that we are in a lack planet, that there's not enough resources to go around. Sorry, I have a little bit of stuff in my throat, so we'll be doing this. I don't edit my stuff as of right now. See, practical spiritual advisor here, Harold Aho, now at your service. Sorry if I'm blowing out your speakers if you're listening to me in the car. So anyway, let's continue. Stop messing around. So this led to a state of awareness of what organizations have been created to assist with cleaning the water, making sure that it was conserved, and what authority they have, like San Antonio River Authority and their power from the headwaters to the Gulf Coast. And, you know, the San Antonio River Walk. This is one tidbit of information that is very It tells a deep story within itself on how our government is supposed to be utilized in states of national crisis, if you will. And so where we are is we're in need of a big shift. And so our government was supposed to be set in place to service the people. And during the Great Depressions, we were in a very dire situation. Unemployment was at all-time high, and food and all these different things, right? So one of the stones that is in the stories here is the Shintamani Stone, the Philosopher's Stone, and how it came to me in 2018. And then, you know, everything that I've worked with this stone and its myth and everything started showing itself again through this San Antonio Riverwalk. As I started looking into my own city and its actual history of things that are verified by dates and pictures, and I mean, I can see the history as it shifted, and stories and organizations being created and timelines. And so a Russian mystic, Nicholas Rorick, who is said to be a holder of this Philosopher's Stone or Shintamani Stone or Shintamani Stone, was in communication with FDR's right-hand man. And I forget the names, but FDR in 1930s, he held presidency for four terms. He was in a wheelchair. They were having these communications. You can find this information on Gaia TV, Arcanum. And there's two episodes. One talks about the William Henry calls it the Shintamani Stone, but it's spelled Shintamani. And it's the Shintamani Stone. It's all one and the same. Philosopher's Stone, all one and the same. And so if you look at that information in his other episode in the first series, there's two series of Arcanum, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, all in the first series, there's another one that talks about the Philosopher's Stone, and then one is the quest for the Shintamani Stone. And so look at those and or watch those episodes. And then, you know, it comes full circle with San Antonio Riverwalk being funded by the WPA. And the WPA is the works put something. I forget that. I'm really bad at this, huh? They're like, oh, my God, can't you just clarify and put the names of sources so we can get it? You'll have to do your own hunting. But just look up WPA 1930s. And so what was done through that organization was 8.8 million Americans were employed by building sidewalks, bridges, schools, Capitol buildings and stuff like that, which, mind you, I think all the Capitol buildings are domes, and they serve some type of resonant tone that you can tune into. I think that's what they were built for. Just saying, I'm following some theories of mine here. But do your own digging and you can discover. I'm just going to throw out little breadcrumbs. You can do your own rabbit hole search. So I tell y'all my name is Harold Aho now, H-E-R-A-L-D, and then Aho now. That's my new spiritual name, but my birth name is Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D, Ho now. It's German. And so as I'm doing the digging into the San Antonio Riverwalk and the years created and all this stuff, and the father of who they coined the father of the Riverwalk, the architect, his middle name is Harold. His last name is Hugman. So I'm like, all right, so I'm just going to follow these breadcrumbs. And I mean, there's some backstory that, you know, he was kicked off the project. The mayor at that time doing some dirty deeds because Harold did not, I'm going to just call him Harold. His first name was something else. I forget, but I'm just stuck on his middle name. So Harold was getting the raw end of the deal because of the mayor, and materials are being taken to another project of the mayor's instead of the Riverwalk project. And the council that was in charge of the Riverwalk build, or the committee, or whatever it was, instead of getting into a dicey situation, they just fired Harold. Not until 19, I forget the date actually, but when he was 78 years old, 2 years before his death, was he finally honored with his bust at the Riverwalk, and he's the father of the Riverwalk and stuff like that. So I think it'd be really nice to pay homage. He wanted to, I mean, what he built was amazing, or is amazing, and it still has not served its full purpose of what his dreams were for it. But the architect, like the architecture, like just all the stuff that he did and the beauty of it. And it's just been overcrowded and put with a lot of restaurants and mainstream stuff. And if that all shifts, then you can really beautify and maintain this as a very beautiful scape for our city that brings nature back, like a terraforming the city. So, and he wanted 11,000 more trees and plants and stuff that were actually put in there. And so anyway, there's history with that, and how it was funded was through the WPA. And the WPA was put into act after, I believe, Nicholas Roerich, through FDR and FDR's right-hand man, I forget that guy's name, to send him on a quest to find America's Philosopher's Stone and to Shambhala. And this is all in Arcanum, in, you know, in what I'm researching and finding, and there's letters written, and it's all, I'm looking at, I'm matching all the dates and all this stuff. And the Riverwalk was completed in 1941, so in the 30s is when it was in creation. It helped with a flooding situation in San Antonio, and what he did was he really did clean up the Riverwalk from what it was. There were car parts and stuff left by it, some mechanic shop engines and all kinds of things in the river. And around that time, if not before, is when San Antonio also suffered a lot of choleric, or play, almost a plague of choleric, because of the influx of people and just not keeping the waters clean. And then they also, I think it was in the 1900s, that's when the water actually stopped flowing consistently from the Blue Hole, which is the headwaters of the San Antonio River. It is one of many natural artesian springs that create the San Antonio River and the other creeks and waterways that make San Antonio. And so it hasn't flowed since the 1900s. So there's literally been a stop in the flow of natural energy. Filtered, natural, alkaline, mineralized water that the natives would swim in, and healing waters for 12,000 years, all this beautiful stuff. So there's some things going on and shifting around the 1900s in San Antonio. and, you know, we need to bring back the ancestral information of Yanaguana, which means spirit waters, and that's what San Antonio used to be called, was spirit waters. Before it was named San Antonio, it was called Yanaguana, the home of the spirit waters. And there are stories that as I dive, and the solar eclipse X has led me to the headwaters, it has led me to the history of this place, the San Antonio Riverwalk. I was looking on YouTube and I found a 12-part series of the Streetlight Historian. And he's a local guy that was talking about a lot of the mysteries, or put a series together about the mysteries with Bigfoot, Thunderbird, E.T. Mystery School, UFOs, what else? E.T. Autopsies, Project Paperclip, Nazi Scientist, what else? Ghosts, just an array of paranormal events and things that are validated and verified by multiple perspectives from respected people in the community, or, you know, military, and just so much stuff. And I'm like, what is this place that I live, and that there's a reason why it's getting hit with these solar eclipses. And maybe it's like a portal that has been clogged with, you know, the stagnant energy of the waters don't flow, and military bases here in mass amounts. There's been a maximum of 5 here. I don't know for sure how many are here now. A lot of the stories come from personnel that were stationed here, and you know, that were, you know, watching, you know, different parts of bases and having, oh yeah, werewolf's another one, freaking dog man stories. Not all of them being like horrific. Some of them being like, hey, he grinned at me, and because I, you know, I take care of Mother Earth, and I think that's why he didn't mess with me. And so there's just so much stuff going on. So the WPA has it was a government funding opportunity to revitalize Americans and put food on the table. And so this is what happened. There was $27 million set aside strictly to, you know, employ out-of-work artists. So the arts were involved in this. Nicholas Roerich, he's a visionary artist. And, you know, there's just so much story to this. The city that connects this, the my own personal experiences when I've been wanting to pull away from San Antonio and go into off-grid mode and just get away from the mainstream, like, you know, parts. I drive around San Antonio and I look around, I'm like, wow, who designed this? Why is it all rectangles and squares and, you know, the curves, and there's, you know, there's, you know, water towers that have cell phone towers on the side of the water. I'm like, wow, that's probably not good. You know, it's just a lot of things that I see that can be done better. And I'm a little disappointed at some people. I wasn't there to help them, and maybe I wouldn't have been able to help. I don't know all the details that go into this stuff, right? But from what I'm learning, it could be done different. And there's ways of even taking what we have, and we can adapt, we can transform, we can metamorph, we can terraform. So now that this has led me to the waters and led me to knowing that there's ways in the past that we can see how the government has funded large projects when a city is in need of some type of restructuring to save the people. That's what it's there for. It's what the government is supposed to be there for, in my opinion, right? It's supposed to not just like put rules and regulations. That's not, because it's doing a piss poor job of that. And they'll admit it. They know they're an outmanned, they're underpowered, they don't have the funding. It doesn't go like the way this stuff is structured. It just does not make sense. It doesn't make sense on purpose. We're supposed to look at something that doesn't make sense and Rubik's cubic into coherency. And we do this by following our past to our present to our future in a very intentional way. And this is all that I'm providing in my own stories of following my higher self's lead. And the way what I'm describing when I say that is my heart. I mean, in my higher self would be, can be the smallest thing. As, for instance, I was leaving Rainforest Cafe one night. I was done working, left the side door, normally would go to the right and take a left down that block till I get to my car and leave. This day, I'm like, I'm going to go that way. It looks prettier. I'm going to walk over Mad Dogs, look at the Riverwalk as I go this way. And lo and behold, there was a fire, and that side of the block was actually closed down a little bit further down from where I wouldn't have been able to keep going that way, the normal way that I went. And I'm like, I mean, not like I would have been in danger, but nothing fell. There was no wall that fell on anybody and killed anybody or nothing like that happened. It was just like, it feels like I'm being guided, because I don't know why I respond to go in a direction or call someone at a specific time or do research onto something that only shifted a day before or the day, like the synchronicities, the magic, it's too pronounced to ignore, because I've been doing this for so long that it really has started to make sense to me. And the more that it started to make sense to me, the more that I'm now an active decoder, not even decoder. I feel like I've hacked the main parts of my own essence to bring me into completion with everyone else that wants to resonate within this tone that I wish to be. Hope that makes sense. So anyway, let's get back to what the beginning is. Like, what is this, you know, what is this beginning? What does setting the tone mean? And why, what is that? So I'm just showing examples of why this all makes sense is what I'm doing right now. I'm building things up. I want you to know that there are some key factors that back me up, that if you think about them, it's super logical. It makes sense. It adds validity to, if you want to call it an argument or a plea for a change or whatever, you know, the thing that we're doing is we're setting the tone for a new beginning. And so I'm speaking this out, and a lot of it is verifiable. You can go do your own research and look into these things that I am speaking of and put your own little galactic hints together. And again, I offer all of my platforms as a way to find more coherence. And there's galactic hints in everything that I post. And from the smallest thing to the largest thing, there's people speaking codes in there and saying coherent things that make sense to other things, where not the whole story is what you're looking at. You're looking at the galactic hints and the coherency through all the stories. That's how you're going to piece this thing together. So as I tell all these different stories, you grab your own things. It meshes with your dreams, your intentions, and it's going to help you shift your dreams for some, because we're singing the same old tune. Some of us are not realizing that there is a new tune that's about to come out, and it allows more freedom. It's a different kind of a song. And so I'm just trying to get everybody into dancing a new tune. So, you know, allow your dreams to shift into being more expansive into things that you have not thought of yet. I did a lot of that work for you. Okay, let's go forward. So what is another thing that's going to back me up on what this setting the tone is? It's a solar eclipse event. This setting the tone is the 10/14/23 annular ring of fire eclipse. I've been guided through people that say things and I'm like, yep, makes sense. All right. So this thing is a spiritual summit. A summit is going to be more of a conference / festival gathering, not just talking about things, but doing things type of an event. And so knowing what I know about solar eclipses because of all the stories from the 2017 solar eclipse, if anybody wants to jog their memory on what happened across America for that event, everyone across America looked up, because everywhere had some type of a view of this eclipse, whether it was a totality or 80, 90, 60. I think at lowest it was like 50% or something, because it went right through America. It was almost like a wake-up call. It was a 7-year call, if you will, because we have the next totality in 2024. So yes, that would make 7 years. This year is a 7-year. I was born in 77. San Antonio is the 7th largest city in the nation. I helped my children's school turn into the 7th healthiest school in the nation. A lot of other things about me you don't need to know that are sevens and sevens and sevens all abound. This is the, it's seven. It's a year of completion. Everybody put your heart in the 7th chakra. There's a theme that's going on here that you're going to, as you pay attention, it'll start to make itself known. Again, you're going to have your own dreams and validating keys that are going to make a different type of sense for you than it does for me. I'm just offering a new story to tell. This is my story. It's a fact story. All right. So let's see. Solar eclipse events in the past. People come, they get weird, they get crazy, they get ET, they get galactic. They want to dance. They want to hoop and holler. they're going to cry. They're going to feel a complete reset. If you go listen to stories of past solar eclipses, it's a thing. So this ring of fire may not be a totality, but it is an event, and astronomers and stuff like that will say that this is the warm-up for the total solar eclipse. So we can even take their words. This is a setting the tone for that solar eclipse. That one's a major party all over the world. From what we do with the beginning and setting the tone, the spiritual summit, where we get to... So some of the other part real quick, we're going to bounce around a little bit here. So just roll with me. All right. So one of the things we got here is Yanaguana, spirit waters, and the history of this area and how it's been healing waters for 12,000 years. So we're bringing back this information, the solar eclipse events from the past. If you look into that, it brings out a lot of energy. And so there's a way of guiding people with that and what they're looking for. They're coming in from all over. So San Antonio should not expect the same old crowd. We should not give them a San Antonio and just the Hano music and mariachi. Like, don't just hit them like, oh, look, and be like, man, this event was like, it felt like I was just in San Antonio. Like, it's old. And it's going to be like rock and roll and 80s and 90s. And it's going to be some shit that you've heard before if I let them do it on their own. It's going to be some local music, but they're going to be, I don't know. It's we have an opportunity to do something different. And so that's what I'm bringing to the table. I've just so happened to have experienced some really amazing artists that'll blow people's minds that are doing this. And they just got into it, but they're already huge. And I'm going to bring all these beautiful acts to San Antonio in preparation for this event and have it be a place to set the tone. And okay, people were coming. They want to experience something weird, spiritual, different, an experience of a lifetime, even though they know that 2024 is coming up and they're also even planning for that, because I guarantee they're all planning for that now. A lot of people are jumping over this eclipse and doing that. So they're only 6 months apart from each other, 10, 14, 23. Or 824. So we're okay with that. We can still draw them to this city by the millions, because not everybody's going to make it to the 2024, or they're already lined up for it. So they're going to be at home already, because this hits a lot of major cities, the 2024. So 2023 does not. Albuquerque, not really anything really big, but it does go over Roswell, New Mexico. Wonder why they crashed there. Solar eclipse lineup, maybe. It goes over the Four Corners. Does anybody know what's held at the Four Corners? The Hopi Prophecy. The Ring of Fire goes over the Hopi Prophecy. This Ring of Fire is also, you know, if the phoenix rises from the ashes, it may have been a bird before, but when it went through the Ring of Fire, it lit up and burnt off all the stuff that no longer served it. And that's how it was able to fly again, by shaking off the ashes. And we need to do that as a collective and know that we are ready to birth a new creation story. So, does my city know the audience that's going to show up here? I don't think they really do. I don't think they have anybody that's done the research to a degree like I have. I know they haven't. Because I did some deep diving. So, is the city ready for them? I don't think so. I don't think they're prepared for that. They're ready for the 2025 NCAA. They're only looking forward to that. This is a cosmic alignment that has a potential to bring in a million plus, and that's revenue too. So this is a very coherent situation we have here. San Antonio River doesn't flow. I also discovered how to make it flow again, and it's not a very big drastic move for the collective to adopt this plan and to enact it and actually have it bear the fruits of that labor. I've seen it in action. Water harvesting is a thing. where you harvest the water into the ground, you slow it down instead of what the major cities are doing is immediately getting it out as soon as possible by cutting out all the natural waterways and that would absorb the water and flush things out and provide their own filtering system before this anything hits the ocean, before it touches the rest of the waters. And so we can restructure these things. And so just like the San Antonio Riverwalk was created by a government fund, I found a gentleman by the name of Brian Hummel. He is a water rancher. I met him years ago when I had planned the food forest in my neighborhood that led me to my children's school. And so anyway, he was there at one time to help me laser level the property to see where the water would flow. And so I had his number. And so I reached out to him to see what he was up to, because, you know, this guy's in the government. So he's been always traveling. At one time, he's like, I'm going to be in Washington for a little while, blah, blah, blah. And so I didn't think to reach out to him in the beginning when I was led to the water. I was guided to another guy. Then it led me back to Brian Hummel. And so when I text Brian, he mentioned that he did remember me, and yeah, that he would like to catch up. And why don't I go out to his property tomorrow? He's going to be doing a tour with San Antonio River Authority. And it would be a good thing for me to network with them and, this and that. So I don't know if I said this in the other podcast or earlier on this one, cause you know, 36 minutes in, but San Antonio River Authority is the one that put the documentary together that led me to San Antonio Riverwalk and the river and all these different things. They are that organization that I am destined to work with. I have my oldest daughter, from a woman named Sarah. My ex-wife is named Sarah. Every time I would hear Sarah, it was something weird about Sarah. I don't know if it's the vibration of it or what it is, but I think it's because I'm supposed to be co-creating with this San Antonio River Authority, S-A-R-A, Sarah. And, so I met a few of the ladies that are within the organization, and gave them the download on how we can use these cosmic alignments to do a beneficial shift for the city and for ourselves as a community, not just a nation, but this is inviting everyone from around the world to come in and take part in this activism. Like, hey, how do we get the, like, so, okay, we know how, we'll present that we know how to slow the water down and fill the aquifer. Because that's what's missing, is the aquifer doesn't have the pressure to push out the water from the wells and from the natural springs. So because it's overly siphoned with wells, we can slow down the siphoning as a collective, because we can harvest rainwater in different ways, and we can do that in a very big way. We can get government funding for this. Now, this is where Brian Hummel comes in a very, very big way. He works for the government. And the way he works for the government is he helps write grants. He knows where there's big money, and I mean big, millions, billions, sitting there waiting for large waterworks projects through EPA and FEMA. And they have it on their list of agendas, and nobody has stepped forth with a worthwhile project. Now, he is stationed, or his area is Florida, Carolinas, Georgia, that area. San Antonio, Texas is not, this whole area of Texas is not his section, his region. And so he told me all he needs, because I gave him a download on the plan, obviously. He said all he needs is the mayor, Ron Nuremberg, to ask for his support. And he could get paid within his job from the government to come to San Antonio and assist with that, write a grant for who knows how much money in order to get this money to San Antonio River Authority in an all-out project to bring back the natural flows of the rivers, not just downtown and in south of town, but all the way up before we get there. The waters that lead down to those waters need to be cleaned up. The trash can be separated. Plastic can go with the mushrooms that eat the plastic. Other stuff can be put into eco bricks. There's just a lot of different ways that we have the technology, the information, the database, like, and inventors and people that are completely inspired two that have been practicing these different ways of, you know, turning trash into cash or turning trash into gas or whatever we need. And there's permaculturists that know about different plants that eat up chemicals and filter. And then we can use that water now that is clean and filtered and clean, free of debris, to water our food in places that used to be or are currently being called ditches, that actually have been in the past natural waterways. I mean, this takes me back to my first LSD journey when I was 17, being in quotation marks what we called the ditch. It was our smokeout spot. And we're tripping on acid and we're like, let's go walk to the ditch before this kicks in. And this shit kicked in. It was called Alice in Wonderland. I remember when it hit full on, I was sitting on the edge of one of these like slanted sides of this waterway for water drainage, which, you know, we're at the top of it. And then if you can envision, there's a large slope that goes down and hits this. I mean, it's got to be 10, 15 feet wide. It's a large water, you know, spill off. Not very large. There's obviously larger ones. This is off of one of the end of a street that was in our neighborhood. And then you go another 50 yards down of this almost flat thing. And then there's your water that's pretty much flowing almost like all the time. Just a little bit, you know, it's got like an inch or whatever until you get massive rain and then everything fills up. So I'm on the top and I'm sitting on that slanted edge and I'm looking down at the concrete and I swear I see bugs and lizards and just like everything moving right there. And I could almost like touch them and I touched the concrete and I know, and I'm saying like, I know that that's not real, but whoa, like I'm just... could see it. And then I like go to look up and horizontal, I'm looking out into the big grassy field and I could see like flowers and neon colors and it's just bright and full of colors. And I'm just amazed by the visuals. And then I keep my head looking further up into the sky and I see this big, at that time, the only way I can describe it was looking down into a tornado, into some type of a vortex. And, you know, maybe thinking back now, it might have been a ring of fire. It's definitely a portal above the waters of the Almost Creek, which in that day was called the ditch. And now that I know it was actually always been a natural waterway that man came in, flattened out, threw some concrete in there, and there's freaking shopping carts and homeless people and trash and tires and a mattress and all kinds of debris and things that have been caught down there. And, you know, every once in a while they'll come and clean that stuff out, but it could be utilized. You could put so much soil and things in there and you can make a natural waterway and slow the water down and harvest it and use it. Like they're doing it with this civic park downtown now, next to Yanaguana Garden. And so this is just amazing to me that my hopes and dreams and desires are literally fulfilling with my word and my own inner guidance. Like my inner guidance, I feel it will tell me, research this thing that you're interested in. Don't forget about that. And then I do it. And then it comes to be that the organization is transforming, upgrading, asking for help, about to do something that is like perfect with the direction of what I want to do for this city. And then I drive around and I'm closer to the south of downtown King Williams, Lone Star Art District. And the city is in the works of making it more pedestrian friendly and walkable and a meditation zone with art and all these things. It's been, you know, the city is not that old. Most of America is not that old. when you think about dynasties that have been around for thousands, for like 1,000 years or whatever, this place is young. All of it is young. And there is history that is buried. There are stories that are buried, that are lost. And what I'm wanting to do with these events, with this first Ring of Fire, is bring those stories back and bring a new story into existence as we create a new creation story. This new creation story, you know, as I dive into the history, I'm looking at natives and stuff, right? So I'm hearing stories of, you know, what is the creation story of the Paiea tribe and the Kulkutan tribe. And, you know, the stories from settlers and old cowboys and stuff in the 1600s, written stories of them saying that the natives were almost like superhuman in their strength and their agility and their, you know, their vision and just all these different things. And they were just, they were tuned in to the natural laws. They would travel with the weather. I think about that now when I go to transformational festivals with my family and I'm there with my tribe. I'm like, man, where's everybody going? Can we just stay for like, I don't know, so this season's over and we'll go somewhere else. And if you can imagine, like, I mean, it's in Dances with the Wolves. Anybody remember that old movie? They would travel. And so sometimes they'd have a landscape of snow and the rivers and stuff. And sometimes it'd be the plains to get the buffalo for food. And, you know, their landscape would change. It wasn't always the same. You know, it's not like they didn't have a home. They were their home. They knew how to survive in those different places. And their body also adapted to be more resilient. So, you know, we're looking at the history of this place. And if the waters flow, what does that do? And so a big part of this too is, you know, going back to the, you know, before the settlers and stuff, when the waters would flow consistently without the overpopulation, and there were about 5,000, you know, people out here at one time. And I mean, that's a good amount of your community, but this is a large area of really natural springs and stuff. So they had an abundance of water. There's stories of the Blue Hole, the headwaters of the San Antonio River, that it would be a geyser at times, 10 feet high, of natural purified alkaline mineralized water. I mean, go take your drink, you know. And they would swim in this water that would come out of there and, you know, connect with the now moment, because they weren't thinking about the past or the future. They were just having fun splashing and swimming and playing and trying to touch the bottom and, you know, dipping their children in and just having fun, washing clothes or whatever it was, rinsing off, refreshing themselves and putting that now moment, their heart in that water. And that water would go down. And as San Antonio would, you know, after that, where what is now the downtown area, you start to get into the valley. And once you get into the valley, this river is a little bit calmer and easier to work with. And you can cut away areas and now do flood irrigation south of the city in the valley. And the soil is much richer and less rocks. And you have an opportunity to grow a mass amount of food for your community. And so this is a bigger part of what I'm wanting to do and planning to do. And every time I go out and want to do this, like, it looks like there's organizations and people that someone, you know, because they're rich, would be like, oh, look at them. There's a white guy doing this and that. And, you know, they're doing it for their own good, capitalism. They're going to make money off of that. And I'm looking at it like, no, I think they're actually wanting to bring awareness into what has been and bring back that and make a more sustainable, thriving community. Because why would they want to build something that they know their children are going to play in, only for their children to fucking be scared and be in a lack mentality? It's not heading the other direction on its own. It's not getting better on its own. Yelling at your politicians and enemies ain't doing anything. They don't listen. The way they do their policies don't listen. But guess what? They got big money sitting aside that they can't even touch. Sitting aside for some organization to come through with a worthwhile project And if you can show them that you can handle a lot of their needs that they can't, they obviously knowing that their thumbs are up their asses that they cannot handle, then you bring these solutions. And that's what I'm doing. And the more I do this, the more it looks like other businesses and people and organizations are wanting to do the exact same thing. And they're taking conservation and they're looking at things from many perspectives. And some people don't think that they are. And I think they're just looking at an old version of what they think the world is, not allowing it to shift. These organizations, government, businesses, they are not going to stay the same. Don't look at them as always being this negative entity that only wants to fuck with you. There are incoherencies in it. Yes, absolutely. And is it going to get worse? Yes, absolutely. Will it shift into a light of energy and information and stuff for us to use that will spark a light within us to know that we are the change that we've been waiting for and our government is only going to do what we show them we want to do? The big businesses are only going to do what we show them. They're only going to sell us products that we'll buy. So we got to show them what we want to buy and what we want to do. They'll make us the equipment. They got the money. They got the resources. We're in a different energy than we were before. The policies, all these things are going to loosen up. They know they're fucking up. We are at a head. Okay. So with my plan is to prep the city for a large community activist event that lasts about 6 months with our release date of the campaign for this Setting the Tone event on 420. And as we go forward with this campaign, the energy flows and the virality of it, did he just make up a word? I think he just made up a word. You know, it goes viral. I mean, come on. Did I not go? But if you did, you're listening all the way through and you're here and this is your first episode and you're listening all the way through this and just because you're intrigued, I really advise go back to the beginning and listen to these other ones because it makes a whole lot of sense if you just take it all in. And we're going to release this information to the rest of the planet along with all the clarity that comes along with it in digital form, book form, all these beautiful, wonderful things to get the word out. And it's been held under for long enough. And so the release date is 420. And we're going to prep the city for an opportunity for inventors and community activists and people that know their stuff to come in and put that to put it to the test. And so when we have, a good rain, we will have some of these inventions posted up at the runoff point or the bottleneck point where a lot of the trash gathers, and we'll come up with ideas of handling and mitigating the separating of the trash and handling and disposing and or transforming it into whatever is the most way to utilize that resource. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be resourced in some way or form. We're not just going to toss all this stuff out or just burn it all or do something that just doesn't make sense. We're going to have to make sense of it. And there's a bunch of smart people that know that our backs are against the wall. And so this is a call out for the world to come with their best foot forward. And if you're not an inventor or a business that has resources or material that can assist with this, then there's ways of giving back through your manpower. If you want to come into the city, this is what I'm proposing to the city. So, you know, I am, none of this is on document at this point in time. It's all on notes in my heart, in my mind, and a bunch of other people that are in my circle, in my network that have heard the plan, that are influential and that have access to the people that have money and all this stuff. And I'm at pitch deck phase right now. I'm also at quantum being of light zip out into a human experience that can speak this into existence. So for you that listen and you share this dream and you believe in what this can do with no ego, no judgment, and just say you would like to be a part of something bigger than yourself and come together for humanity and help heal the waters and get this water to flow again. I have found a way to get it funded. You can just dream this dream with me here and now whenever you listen to it. It doesn't matter because there is no time and space. It's all one. It's all a self-expression of the soul coming to throw itself into fractalization and refiguration, remembrance of itself and all the little experiences that it's come to put into perspective, and we get to come express ourselves in the tone, in the seventh tone. We bring our hearts. And so I have an idea for the city to create an app, and we can use the resources of people that want to come ahead of time and help with these projects of building gardens and schools. We'll have permaculture blitz. We will have art projects. We are going to invite artists to come into the city and paint murals. We can find businesses that will donate material for the artists to get the job done, along with whatever help. And the way that I feel that we can get this funded is, remember, my friend Brian Hummel has an opportunity to write big, big money grants. Now, the way the money comes in and the way it gets dispersed takes time. Excuse me. I know that. I think it could come together faster than it has before. The sense of urgency is kind of, yeah, we're here. And we're not moving too fast. We're moving just fast enough, especially if we get the right people in the right place at the right time. I seem to be, it's kind of my forte to be in the right place at the right time, as you can tell if you are following along. And the people that resonate with me do the same. So I am not alone. You are not alone. All right. So the app can reward people to free concerts in different places. I'm picking them out. Sunken Garden, this new Civic Park, Brackenridge Park. Some of the golf courses are really prime real estate for having a gathering of people that want to just hang out and check out a solar eclipse and listen to some good music and art and all the good stuff. I've been looking at quite a few places, and what I'm proposing for the city is to actually do what they do with Fiesta. It's a 10-day long Fiesta party. So I want to do a 10-day long spiritual summit, aka spiritual fiesta. And so what that will do is as much as possible, because we'd like to keep it spiritual, we're going to buy a lot of cacao. I've got a lady here, Eva. She does kava. And we've got other, you know, beautiful, organic, natural substances that we can ingest, digest. You know, if people are still wanting to have fun and like, man, I'm used to getting drunk. All right, have some cacao, have some kava, have some kombucha, go get faded on the drum circle, and, you know, come back and be like, dude, I feel amazing, and, you know, do the thing. Because I got a bunch of people that are going to be so lifted on this. I'm bringing in the tribe. I'm bringing in the troops. I'm bringing them by the thousands, maybe 144,000. I'm not sure how many are coming in exactly, but it's going to be quite an amount of people that are in the know on how to be themselves and be free, goofy, laugh, play, dance, integrate, align, connect, the whole thing. And they're going to show the rest of the people that are a little, hey, I'm on the fence on that. Hey, join the crowd. We're all doing it. Now you look weird by not doing it. And so everybody gets to partake for free, in a sense, you know, or some, I don't know, we'll structure it in whatever way makes the most sense. But I really feel putting some activism behind this, putting some inventor juices and some real good minds behind terraforming this city and coming up with plans and ways of bringing back nature and natural flowing water and cleaning it up and having fish, you know, swimming in what is now referred to as a ditch, and have our food be grown for our children, and start, I want to have earth ships and hemp houses and all these off-grid homes on the campuses of high schools, and that could be a project. We can build gardens on these high school, or all these schools, the public schools, the private schools, whatever. We can, you know, we can have organizations come in and donate their time. Now, if I want to do a community activist event where they get rewarded, kind of like a la carte, where maybe they get discount on Reiki, or they get a free Reiki session for doing this, and there's only so many of those available, or they get a discount at this concert, or they get in for free, or sound session or whatever it may be, or counseling or one-on-one, all these different things. So, you know, I run very logical on these things. I think things through. So that would be cool, right? So, but we forgot that one thing. Why are these people going to give of themselves for free with no reward? Because they just go out like, oh, okay, I'll do it for free because I'm going to donate. So I'd get a little bit of people on that, but I like to have a lot of people involved. Now, this takes you back to Brian Hummel and being able to procure, bring in, you know, about $1 billion or so to our city. Now, the city can start formulating some type of a grant organization, some committee that can get money to some of these small businesses before the big money comes in. And we don't even need the grant money, really. Like, if the city plays ball with me on this, they have an opportunity of selling solar eclipse glasses by the millions and raking it in and using that for all of their endeavors, or using any one of these nonprofit organizations to collect percentages of the money sold from the solar eclipse glasses. We can do a fundraising. There's a whole bunch of beautiful, wonderful ideas to get the job done. I'm telling you guys, these are genius ideas, and all I need is, I don't need anything actually. Just here telling you the story, and it's already played itself out. So we utilize the energy of human beings when they come to this place. We can guide them along. They can come and have a spiritual, wonderful, integrative, soul-evolving experience with other beings that they get to work with first and then play with next. And I've got a bunch of people coming in to minimize the waste, take in all the composting, you know, have reusable plates and spoons and forks and all the straws and all that stuff, instead of like having a bunch of people come into a city and just like influence it with all their shit, all their waste. We can be very guiding and say, hey, we have places positioned throughout the entire city for you, for us to compost your scraps, for us to take your glass and plastic and this, that, and the other and dispose of it the right way. And actually, we're going to be taking in people on tours of all the inventors that have posted up throughout the city that have ways of mitigating this in other ways, with storm runoff and water harvesting and permaculture and growing food and the whole nine yards. So you get to see what action has taken place the 6 months prior to your arrival. Now, this event, like I said before, wanted to be 10 day long. So that would put it from 10-6, October 6th until 10-15. And so this event will be a citywide event, many, many things popping off. And so that's pretty much it. We'll have different themes for each days. I have different artists that I would like to bring in. And so I'm looking for the city to and businesses to help me curate this event, or even just the world. I could put a solar eclipse. I could do this in a way of Kickstarter the solar eclipse glasses, because I got a way to make them super sexy, amazing, holographic, stories being told and scavenger hunt within solar eclipse glasses for $11 or $7, whatever works the best, and sell them by the millions, because they will. I've communicated with a company that manufactured 45 million and they sold out for 2017, and that was one company. Others were sold, millions were made, millions were made in money. And so there's an opportunity to bring in a lot of money and revenue just from the manufacturing and selling of solar eclipse glasses for all the people that are going to use them. They are getting the gist of what we're doing here now, is we're bringing people together and we're going to do something. And we're going to show the world through our actions and coming together, and there'll be a platform for people to tell their spiritual story, their awakening story, what brought them their story, how they're aligned, what their experience was. We'll document it, we'll film it, we'll create many documentaries from this. I'm in the works in a book right now. I'm in the works with a documentary that's going to be put together for all of this, and you get a chance to be a part of it. And be a part of something big, something that shifted the entire planet and literally set the tone in the beginning with the word, which was a story from the heart. It included your heart. We're all one. So I hope that gives you a nice little sense of what is to come. I'm not asking for anybody's permission on this. One of the things that we will touch on here in one of the upcoming episodes is human design, And if anybody's familiar with that, I'm a manifesting generator, 1-3 profile, riding across to the sleeping phoenix. I am the 2027 prophecy. I reach my peak at 50 years of age, and that is in 2027. It's a whole thing, folks. This is a shift in humanity, and I can validate it through so many different prophecies. And this is where we're going to get into a new direction with this podcast. And we may start a new one, or we may start a couple. But one of them is going to be like a precursor. I think, you know, maybe I'll start this when the book release comes out, and I'll give you a hint of the name. I'll give you the name anyway. Road to the Rainbow Bridge, Ancient Prophecies Fulfilled. And so you got a big scope, if you've been listening to the podcast, of what work has been done and what's going to be in the book, and obviously with more detail in there and maybe some pictures and stuff like that, but it'll be a bestseller. And, you know, we have an opportunity to really come together and create a big shift and let them know what we want. So with this story, I want you, you know, with this episode, this podcast episode number 8, the Infinity 8, the beginning and the end, setting the tone for yourself for our new cities of light, crystal cities, terraforming the old and the new, and creating a space for our children in at least seven generations deep. The collective Aho runs through each of us with this agreement. That's why I changed my name to Harold Aho now. So Harold is the bringer of the good news, or the event. And so this event is here. That's why my name is Harold. Just spelled a little bit different. We're pronouncing exactly the same. Harold. And then I just switched up my last name from Ho Now, H-O-E-N-O-W, to Aho Now. So Aho means that it's a collective agreement. When you hear Aho, it's like, yeah, I agree with you. And so the Aho Now, it's a collective agreement in the now, which is the present moment, which is you, which is the gift. And so we're ready to give our gifts to humanity. So with that, I want you to love always, in all ways. Namaste.